Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Moving Spotlight Podcast. My name is John Ruby. I'm here with
Corbin Coyle. Hey, everybody.
Hello, everyone. The rain has stopped. It is dry again in LA.
Sunny. It's nice.
It's finally sunny. My wife likes to say she's solar powered, so she's back up. She's rebooted.
I like that.
Not as cranky as she was for the last couple of days when it was cold. But yeah, the sun is out and we are back in our game. Corbin, my question, collectible things or items, is there anything like in your life, like either now or back in the day that you're like, I like to collect, you know, these are the things I collected.
So like when I was a kid, I mean, I was doing like Pokemon cards and stuff all the time. That was definitely for me. I'm a big board game nerd, which I've mentioned a bunch of times. So that kind of world I've collected, I guess you could say. But I've never done anything. My dad apparently has like this huge stamp collection. Like it's like this big thing. He was asking me the other day, like, would you want it? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And apparently he was kind of like hurt that I didn't jump at the idea of grabbing it. And I was like, I just don't know anything about stamps. I don't know. So I would love to kind of have a hobby like that, but I kind of don't really. I don't know. Do you collect anything other than, you know, library books?
Oh my gosh. I had to return like 20 library books. That was really sad. And I hadn't read any of them, but I love the way they looked. It's been a long time since I collected something when I think about it, because I used to collect baseball cards and basketball cards and football cards. I used to love all that stuff. And you know what? Actually, it's funny. I also used to collect a little like the G.I. Joes. And what's interesting is I never realized it, but I'd look at the back of the box when you buy it and they'd show all the other ones you didn't have. And I was always like, oh, I need to get those other ones. Mm-hmm. And my son does that same thing. So I'll get him something and he'll like appreciate it for a second. And then he looks at the back of the box, like, I need these other two Lego sets to complete all. And I'm like, oh my God, like it's such genius marketing, because you know, you've got the one, but you like want
collect all of them. And then the next one has three more too.
Exactly. So it's it gets you going. But as far as other collections, yeah, I feel like I haven't collected. I feel like collectibles go through like different phases, you know, for things. And I don't know right now.
I agree with that. Like I was like collecting like movies for a minute and then board games. Yeah, it's like I have these hobbies that I grasp onto for a moment.
Yeah.
I never like stamps for the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a really interesting, it's an interesting one. Yeah, I've never done like coins or stamps or things like that. So, but I like it. It gets me thinking.
Yeah.
It gets me also thinking about what's going to be valuable in the future.
Because
you never kind of know. Sometimes this stuff, they say this is, and then it isn't, and that isn't. Yeah. So, well, excellent. Well, I don't know if our guest today collects anything besides talent. See how I transitioned there?
Nice. That was great.
Yeah, that was really great. Been working on that. Thank you. Really reached for that. But I want to welcome to the show founder, CEO, and talent manager, Melissa Young. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I really am, actually. I just opened an email where the casting director is asking if my client can come back for another episode. So I'm reading. Oh, my God. I'm in tears. Yes, yes, yes. I'm available. So I am great.
Amazing. Yes. Congrats. That's one of the best feelings, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that one of the best feelings?
My client's joy is my joy. I love it.
Oh my gosh.
Very happy.
I think that is so. Wait, I want to stay in this little area for you for a second. Is that one of your favorite things about being a manager?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm an empath, so yes.
Yeah. Are you a collector too?
Is there anything crazily?
When we were saying collect, did your brain go to anything that you collect, or do you not collector of anything?
No, you're 1,000% right. I collect people. And beyond that, I like it. Like I like things simple and clean and monochromatic, I don't like shopping. And I think that is where my energy goes. I love people. Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing this before I fell into this lane. I was in yoga teacher training, healing, Reiki, and I would have probably been working very much with people in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, no, for me, it's like I get joy from people. I have a daughter who's an introvert, and she said to me once, like, Mom, you don't get it. Being around people drains me. It's not like you. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. It charges me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes,
I am the same. I'm the same way. I know exactly what you're saying. So, with this, I think one of the things that, you know, actors are curious about a lot is How do you find actors? How do you find these people? You know, how do actors find you? What's the, you know, give us the juicy bits. It's always so hard to find agents and managers. It's really challenging for actors.
With Google, come on.
Oh, we can find them. We just can't get them. But yes, go ahead.
It is incredibly hard to, I think, get them. I mean, when I started 6 years ago, you know, I was a baby in the business and I wasn't trained or mentored. So I have learned everything as I go. And I look back, it's very funny. I think I was like, oh, you seem like you'd be a good actor, you know, or like send me your self-tapes or your reel. And it didn't matter to me if they had bought their reel at a place that made nice reels. Now, you know, because I don't have room to add really. It's few exceptions. So it's much more about what is this a strategic good move? Like, I would love to just multiply and multiply, but it's not possible. And I also do find that with like trying to place talent with agents, it's not necessarily that everybody on their roster has a better credit level. It's just that they're invested in them. They have a place, that place is full. So they don't want to trade out per se. And it's hard to get in when someone feels full. So to that, how do you find an agent or manager? I think if I were a new actor, an actor looking for a rep without a rep at all, I would go to SAG and look at their list of SAG franchise agents. And if I couldn't find one in a big market, I'd look in the closest market I could drive to. So, you know, if I'm in New York, maybe it's Philadelphia and Boston. I'm in LA, maybe it's New Mexico, Texas. San Fran. Manager-wise, I don't know if there's another listing site, but the one like I'm on is the Talent Managers Association, and they keep a list there. And then I'm sure just general old Google, IMDb Pro.
That's a good one.
Wonderful.
Know, where are the clients you see yourself? I mean, again, we're talking about probably new talent, like they maybe don't have a ton of credits, but where is someone who is in a film that you were in rep, just look on IMDb and see where they're repped, and maybe that's the level you'll be considered at, as opposed to like trying to go for the celebrities' reps.
If some like actors are like trying to reach out to you, like cold email, for lack of a better term, is there like certain things that you want? Is there like a hierarchy of like headshots are better or reel is the best, or like what are you kind of just finding?
Yeah, efficiency is key. I think there's probably 200 emails that I process a day, not counting emails and breakdowns and texts. You know, and I think this is true of other reps, like who are busy, they might have a folder. And so if they quick glance and like think, maybe they'll put you in the folder. If they quick glance or like, they spelt my name wrong, they didn't even put my name, they want me to download a WeTransfer, like you're not even gonna put it in your folder. So, and or sometimes maybe it lands on a slow day and maybe right away the headshot pops and I'm like, oh, I don't have anyone like that. Let me slow down and read it. Then what I would like to see is, and again, like I hope I can speak for most in my shoes because I get to see a lot of different types and what works is working because of efficiency. I do like to see a headshot in the email so you see it. I like to see links. IMDb is a good one because I have seen people lie on their resume and I'm probably going to double check the IMDb Pro anyways. Also, it just gives a legitimacy, you know, if someone's paying for the pro, I know it's money, but it's an investment. It just means you're really treating this as an investment as a professional. Again, like I can say I have a few people that haven't on my roster, but I know also all the investments for actors can be expensive, but this is a good one. I definitely look at it. I consider it. And 98% of people who are sending in, you know, their materials do. So if you don't, you're in that like 2% of like, why? Like, why don't I see a picture there or an about? So anyways, that on your Actors Access, which, you know, everybody should know is the sister to breakdowns. The castings you guys see are not the castings we see, depending on if we're paying for the New York releases, the Southeast releases, the LA releases. We're all getting kind of the ones we subscribe to. But your Actors Access profile is going to be what we would then be submitting with. So looking at that, having a link to that. By the way, don't link to like the page that makes you log in. Like 1 in 10 people does that. There is a way to send your materials. Yeah. Around. It's kind of intuitive.
Yes.
But yeah, going there so I can see, does this person have good headshots? Have they? And I guess this is where managers are helpful, because if no one's telling you this, like maybe you don't know, but I don't want to see a bad headshot, you know, up there. Again, goes to the whole, like, am I joining a professional? Like at this stage of year that my company is in, like it is hard to take someone who need a lot of revamping. Mm-hmm. Just because there's raw talent, because there's a lot of talent that's also honed and professional. So yeah, like having good headshots, not selfies, and you know, maybe invest in a slate or two, have a reel up there, have the resume like logical and separated by type. Like I prefer not to see film and TV together and then like web series all in one, you know, divide it. Skills, little bio, they have a place for your bio. So, and then as far as like the length of the email, 1 to 2 paragraphs.
Beautiful. That was on my list of questions. You nailed it. You read my mind, Melissa, because I get that question a lot when I'm teaching, of like, how much, like, you know, they want to write their whole life story, or, you know, and I'm always like, I mean,
a good one will say, which casting directors have called you and pinned you? Like, what are your, give me 4 to 5 bullet points of highlights or selling features about you. And also tell me who you are. Like, I just got one, and I actually know this actor's work because he played opposite one of my clients, and I'm reading it because his type does fill a void for me. So, which makes it a little easier to, you know, pop out. But he put in there that he's local hire just about everywhere. His ethnicity, his languages, like these are all things that start to narrow in on what makes you unique. And have I seen a breakdown and thought, huh, too bad I don't have anyone who's that. Because those things stick in my head every time there's a void. I say my head, but also, you know, I have an assistant who will say, we need Russian fluent natives or whatever.
Oh my God. Corbin, are you ready for this?
Yeah, it's perfect. Right in there. He says,
not Russian or fluent or native. No. Yeah, yes, like, but it's good.
Never know. Sometimes it's like what pops for. Also, like this question came up in a recent session I did for like a friend who has a coaching company. And I came on as a guest, and they asked, what about being neurodiverse? Like I'm dyslexic and should I mention it? Or I have this handicap, but it could, you know, because this, I think it was lupus, I can't remember, but because of it, sometimes I can't work. Is it going to scare people off? And I was like, I would just lay it all out there because it could also be a benefit. That could be, oh, like I have 50 white women in your, that fill the same roles that you look like you fill, but none of them are, you know, going to be able to check off neurodiverse or have a disability or whatever. That could be the thing that you're like, yeah, once in a while. And I know when I submit on those, I'm submitting with less people. Competition is less, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But it led into this big conversation where the other people in the room were like, oh, I don't know. That makes me nervous. Are you sure? And I don't think really they get, but you just, to me, I think more honesty and more like about who you are is helpful. Mm-hmm.
Well, I always try, you know, this idea of how do you stand out? How are you different? You know what I mean? Right. And so with what you're saying, you know, what's your uniqueness? Because you're right. That kind of can make the pool smaller of what you're going up against, how many people they're bringing in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes
sense. And what you want to do, like if someone is interested in theater, you know, stage and film and TV and comedy and drama, or maybe they're not, maybe they're just into comedy and like they've got UCB training in the pit and they talk just about that, but you really know they know their niche and they're like doing their networking in there, working in there, and their tapes are gonna, you know, reflect it. Like I have people who just made sketch reels as a standalone. Now, fortunately for me, they also do drama, and like they like to me, like, yes. This side of the desk, the more chances of us having success.
Yes,
paying rent.
Before we jump to another area, I did want to just ask, with photos, do you find, like, because I just heard this recently, and this I had never really heard, like, LA actors have a lot of photos on Actors Access, and New York ones, they want less. Have you found that? Someone just said that. I was like, I don't know if that's true, but I was just curious.
That is, like, funny. Yeah, you know what, now that you mention it.
Does that feel true? It's so funny.
Is this true? Because LA folks are like, more.
I mean, I just,
more efficient.
Right. But that's, well, I'm thinking of, you know, when I take a look at Actors Access profiles, you know, of people, and they'll have kind of similar shots in the similar genre. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe this could be overlap and stuff. So, you know, like, how I think it, you know, you want.
Listen, you're like, I look at my clients, my four with the most, all four are LA based.
Okay. Well,
there might be something to this.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, I know, as far as like us and CDs, us, when I say us, I'm going to say us, I'm hopefully, yeah, like, hopefully there's some universals to reps. So us as reps and CDs, I think, can you have too many?
Yeah.
Maybe. Same thing. I don't, and then now I'm going to change it from us to, in my personal opinion, I think there's something to a little bit of less is more, but that less could be a number like 8 as opposed to 15. It's not,
gotcha, three,
you know?
Yeah.
And I always go back to like some TV movie I saw years ago where Martha Stewart's like story of success was going, and it's her first day trying to sell pies at the local market in Connecticut or Westchester, wherever she was. And she brings like 10 different pies and only sells like 4. And then the next day she only brings 3 mm-hmm. types, and she sells out like of 30 pies.
Interesting.
People are overwhelmed with a lot, yeah, of choices. And like, it's our jobs as reps to curate the photo to match the role and, like, you know, put it to good use. But I will say the one that like hits me the most that I make my default, is probably the one that we're going to use 80% of the time. And then the other 20% of the time, those other 4 or so, yeah, oh, this one really does give me doctor. They're wearing all blue, right, look smart. Yeah. Oh, this one really does give me a business exec because of the blazer, and the blazer leans into cop and detective. So I'm going to use that. Oh, this one really gives me comedy. It's colorful. And like, yeah, they're kind of smirky, yeah, smiling. So there are purposes for those rotations.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it's like the one that is more neutral, great eye contact. It's not too zhuzhy in clothing or background. And it's just like your wow headshot that I'm going to use 80% of the time.
I have a dolphin trainer headshot that rarely gets used, but that's really good.
You know what the best niche headshot is? Is please, tell me. You're like abs, because they're like fitness really? And abs. Yeah, I just had a casting like. Okay. A really good project where the man has to play a stripper and have good abs.
Good abs, that's great.
What about somebody who wishes they had abs?
that's another category. That's great. I love it. Wait, so Melissa, now what can clients do to stay proactive? That's another thing actors are curious about. How can they, you know, help you do your job? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, sure. I have actors who are really great on the business of the acting, and I feel like it's both fulfilling for them because you feel like you're taking charge of some component, you know, outside of training and doing your tapes. But I think it's, I don't want to use the word one-on-one, but it is those classes where you're getting in front of CDs because especially now that we're not in the room, it's a nice way to build a human connection. Now that we have a lot more, you know, per post-strike, like for SAG jobs, you should have the option of requesting in Zoom or whatever it is, audition at EcoCast Live. Those are great. You get a chance to get a note. You get a chance to vibe and like hopefully make a good impression. I know there's a negative to that, like your nerves kick in. But I think the positives probably outweigh the negatives. And then there's something to do with training, right? To get there with your breath work and everything else. But so I think, yeah, choosing the live when you can and maybe doing these workshops. And they're not always going going to be like charging, but they are most of the time. But some, like the SAG office has put on some if you're a SAG member. And sometimes, you know, maybe you get to network with the CD on their way in or out, or you get chosen to read. Also use Instagram, like not in a overly pitchy way, but if you're commenting and complimenting and possibly popping up, and your Instagram is also not just like your food and your dog, but your work and, like, you know, here's a new monologue. Obviously you can't put up a self tape that hasn't aired, because it's a big no-no. But if you have stuff that you can put up that shows you as an actor and you're popping, and they're like, I think a natural organic vibe of true human connection that isn't just salesy, but like doesn't hurt, that it happens to me, that kind of, there's a plus side. It gives you a little more name recognition and face recognition, which might help. Like making sure you're communicating with your rep. You can check in if you've got a new skill, a new class. Can I be doing something? Is there a new coach you like? Is there a workshop you suggest? If you have a manager and you're thinking you need a new agent, like, I don't know, like those are things that definitely are other ways, or vice versa. Maybe, you know, you like your agent, and but you only hear from your manager once every 6 months. Like, make sure you do feel good about your team, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And like they're supporting you.
How do you work with agencies? Like, how does that relationship work with you?
Like literally, how does it work? CC each other on auditions. I submit as well. So I'll have like an audition, then I'll CC them, and vice versa. There's one or two who will say like they can't, they're too busy. So then I'm like, great, me too, I'm too busy. And then the client does the CCing. but for the most part, the vast majority, 95%, we kind of CC, treat it as a team. Yeah. Some are more hands-on. I have one, I joke, you can have a managery agent or an agency manager. It's really about the person. That I have one agent partner who really likes to get into like the headshot and real edits, and she's just like working with another manager. And I really love and respect her too. So it's great, you know. But then I have some who are like happy to just see the final selections, which I helped curate, you know, like tell me at the end, or final approval kind of things before, you know, say a real edit is going to go off on Actors Access.
And how often do you like your clients to kind of check in with you with this? Like, do you want them to email you when they have booked something, or when they're like going through a callback, or because it seems like you're saying like they'll CC their agent and you.
I would know all that.
You don't need them to be like, hey, just by the way.
Well, for the most part, because most of the things are coming through stuff that we've submitted on or the agent submitted on, I would know if they self-submit. Yes. I mean, some of them send me a screenshot to everything they're self-submitting for. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's good, because I might say, oh, someone else had that, and like the script is actually a little cray, so make sure you read it closely before. Oh, they just reached out to me. They actually are also casting and traveling some people. I know yours says local hire, but if you want to be considered for the ones getting travel, just, you know, in your slate, maybe saying based in X, but, you know, have a place to stay there. Maybe we could do a hybrid. Like, there's information to share sometimes on them. So not all the time, but I think it's good to share if there's any news at all, you know. If there's anything, I get a message from a client screenshotting conversations they've had with directors or casting directors, if they happen to have personally connected and are thanking them for a job or a good time on set. They'll show me what was said. Why? Because now I have a seed planted in my head that they made a great connection on that set, that director, that casting director. Okay, like, this is just another lane or another thread that's tying together. It's all relevant in a way. Not that I can like hold it all in my brain, but I do want to know, and I celebrate the wins with them, you know?
Yeah. What's the most challenging part of your job, Melissa?
Volume. Volume and wins, statistically speaking. And I think it is probably, I mean, maybe not for like everybody, but I think for a lot of people. I remember kind of also early on in my career, I was placing someone in an agency who has a fairly big name. I'll say like not the A tier, not a top three, but like the tier just below. And I remember we, in the interview, because we did the group, kind of the group Zoom, and the client asked the agent, why did you, and this is like the agent who runs the agency, been in it 20 years, whatever. And why did you get into this? And they said something to the effect of like liking actors, liking people, and maybe liking sales. But, you know, in hindsight, like selling anything else would have been easier. I was like, oh, that can't be true. And now I'm like, it's freaking heck of com so competitive. And a good year in 1 year does not mean necessarily a good year the next year. And that's been
Interesting,
kind of
yes.
shocking to see too, because
That's a good point.
in my mind, momentum means building, building, building. But I've had,
Yes.
you know, 60 to zero as well as zero to 60.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think sometimes of that game shoots and ladders a little bit, where you're going up the ladder, you're like, yes, I'm making progress, and and it is, it doesn't, you're right, that the momentum doesn't always build off of itself. That
And this is where mental health is so important. And I have both types of clients, the clients who are like, did we hear anything? I can't believe it. I'm really disappointed. Like, it's like, you know, five in a row, I didn't even get sent to producers or a pin. And then I have some who are like, if it's meant to be mine, it will be mine. And, you know, I have faith in the universe. And even just me hearing both of those things and repeating both of those things, I felt a different feeling in my heart and chest. Like, you've got to stick with, if it's meant to be mine, it will be mine. It feels so much better. It's freeing. Your heart opens, your breath opens, you're receptive for what's to come with faith, as opposed to like, oh, why not? What does
Yes. I
it tell me?
just, Melissa, it's so funny. Last night I thought of this thing with the acronym ABC, which is ambitious but content. Because I was thinking about this, because content means like peaceful happiness, but I also feel like I'm very ambitious. I'm just thinking about that, versus like satisfied means like, okay, I'm good, but no, I'm not good. You know, so ambitious but content. I think with what you're saying, there's something about feeling content with the work, what you did, but also still like, I want that job. And that can be, you know, that can be challenging, you know, when we either want every job, or we're not, you know, getting as close as we want, or, you know, you're trying, everyone's trying, it's not happening. I totally get that. I think that's an
That's
interesting
great. Yeah, you should coin that ABC.
ABC. Also with sales, always be closing. That's Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross. I can't coin that. Mamet wrote that.
Is that an actual one that you've heard before?
Always be closing is a famous one. Yes, from the
Oh,
play. Yeah, that Alec Baldwin has a great monologue when he yells at a bunch of salesmen, and coffee is for closers, and he's got the ABC, always be closing. But that's a different world to be in.
that.
Speaking of that, do you enjoy TV, film? Do you try to get out to theater being in New York, or, you know, with family life, is it like work and then family, and, you know, that's kind of what fills the cup?
I do have three kids. One's now at college, so that one is not my excuse for going home. But yeah, I think in a few years, like, I'll do so much more theater. Now, if I have a client in a show, I'll see it, you know, most of the time. There are some I miss just if they happen to land during, you know, extra crazy pre-book times, and it's like a 3 week run. But yeah, theater. Who doesn't love theater? Maybe my husband, he falls asleep sometimes.
Yeah, my dad too. My dad falls asleep. Yeah, he's in the room. It's a classic.
I think I know, but I mean, I kind of love it all. I definitely watch a lot more episodic so than anything else. Like, I'm currently between Mr. and Mrs. Smith, my client. Mara's in the opening episode. She's the lady they follow all around. She's freaking adorable in it.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it was fun to see. And then, which I admit is probably why I watched it, but now I'm hooked. It's really cute. We're watching, I just finished Fargo. I never saw the first seasons, but this last season with Jon Hamm and
Yeah, I haven't seen this season yet.
okay,
Is it?
he's
Who's?
amazing. Tuna. Anyways, so good. And then unfortunately, somehow we ended up with True Detective, which
with Jodie Foster. Yeah. I've been reading articles.
Creature keeps haunting me.
I've been reading articles. Spoiler alert. It's so good. Yeah, it's so good. I've heard it's really good. I've watched the first couple seasons, but I haven't seen this one either. Oh, man.
The first season was like, that's way too dark. And now somehow we came back to it with, you know, Jodie Foster. It's a good reason to come back to it. But it's like, I don't know. I was scared in Stranger Things. So that just gives you like a sense of my tolerance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sometimes it goes places. I feel like when we were doing research, Corbin, I saw something about you really enjoy networking. Mm. Does this make sense? Something about liking networking. I feel like that came up either on your website.
Yeah. Yes.
And you know, you talked about earlier about that, about, you know, enjoying people. But I'm just curious how you think about that, because a lot of people, and you know, I think networking, it can feel genuine or it can feel kind of schmaltzy, but when it's genuine, I'm just curious how you approach that, because I think some people struggle with that.
For me, it's genuine because I love connecting people. So I don't know if I've told that this story is out there somewhere, but I think we all go through like a quarter life crisis, unless I'm going to be a doctor when you're 8 and go to med school, you love doctor like quest. But for me, I definitely had a quarter life crisis. And around the same time I had a boyfriend get annoyed at me at a party, and I'm sure I wasn't flirting, but I'm very happy and I love to talk to people. I probably touch arms all the time. But I think I was connecting two people because it's like, you guys should be talking, because like, you have this kind of business, you have this kind of product. And he was like, maybe you should be a matchmaker. And it was like said annoyingly. Mm-hmm. And it was like funny. I'm like, oh, he saw me. I'm a freaking matchmaker. It's what I love to do. I bring people, you know, to clients and match their, you know, help them chase their dreams, which is super fun because I also tried acting. It wasn't fun not being successful at something I tried for 2 years. Mm-hmm. What a like emo quitter I am. but yeah, so I love connecting people and matchmaking. Yeah. Kind of like he nailed it. He saw that was my skill and my joy.
Mm-hmm. Seems like a great way to kind of, I don't know, like John, you talk about this a lot where it's like you want to have people who love you surrounding you. And if you're in there and you're trying to talk to people in matchmaking, like you can kind of just take it or leave it. I'm here. I can be as involved in your life as you need, but you can kind of walk away if you also need to, too. Because I've been thinking about that more, too, with like what you're saying with that boyfriend. It's like, well, you saw me for what I am. I'm not going to be ashamed of it. I'm just going to keep going. You know, I like that.
I tried not to leave him at parties so much for a while. Probably eventually, but yeah, it's just interesting. I think the journey of finding yourself and your joy and hopefully fitting it into your career.
Do you work in the LA market? Like you mentioned the other markets, or is your company, are you submitting to the Southeast and Southwest in LA?
I submit to New York and LA because I have offices in both. The Southeast, I don't have an office. Gotcha. But it's, you know, they know it. So I can say it without being like, sorry, Southeast. It's not as big of a market.
Sure.
And I have talent who are placed there with agents who are submitting. Mm-hmm. And that's been interesting just to see what they get and sometimes see what they get that we didn't get. And I have a client in Morocco right now for Outer Banks. Ooh. I hope that's not a spoiler. anyhow. I don't think so. I did not sign an NDA.
Melissa just said they all die in Outer Banks. They all die. That's a spoiler, yeah. Melissa.
But it was not released to New York or LA. So, gotcha.
Interesting.
But like, to be honest, like, you know, and I probably have 8 or 9 different agent partners there. A lot of them are now saying like, they really need to be here. There's too much like trouble if they can't get here, or they really do need a local address for some tax purpose and they have to show that they paid taxes there. So I feel like at least for my, you know, 9-ish rep connections, like I was lucky if I got 1 or 2 placed or they came in with their placements, because they definitely do prefer that you actually there. Mm-hmm. That there are, like, again, there are plenty of $300 a day, 1 day films that really don't make sense if you're not there. But then we got super lucky and are stoked about this part that he booked through his Southeast rep.
What do you think are like the two, like, or between the two, what are the major differences between like LA and New York markets? Is it, I mean, there are probably so many, but.
I mean, just the shows, you know, I feel like we have all the detective, Law and Order, FBI sort of series in New York. And I mean, there's other stuff. Nora from Queens, is that what it's called? There's definitely Life and Beth. I feel like there is definitely Winston. That's been a big one recently. There's definitely a lot of other stuff, but there are so many of those Law and Order like series. And then I feel like LA has its own different. Maybe there's a bit more in the world of comedy. I will say a different thing about the market for actors, though, is I think that like there's almost equal volume of casting opportunities or breakdowns, so to speak, but it's slightly more crowded with actors on the West Coast. So it's a little harder to get your first credits, it seems, on the West Coast than the East Coast.
Yeah, I thought, because I spent a month in New York, which I know is not a long time, but I thought it was interesting because you kind of hear New York being like a rough, tough and tumble town, you know, attitude. And for me, at least, the entertainment business was very welcoming because it felt a little smaller in a good way, where people were like, they, you know, I mean, it was busy, but like, I don't know, it just felt a little like, versus LA, which is like a laid back town, but entertainment feels a little more like cutthroat. And maybe because I don't know what it was. So that was interesting. It was an interesting feeling. For me, a little bit with maybe what you're talking about, just kind of the difference of the size and the way it is in the city.
There's more competition, more hunger, I think.
I don't know.
That's why they have more headshots.
It all comes back to that. Melissa, before we get to our final thing, I did want to ask you about something fun, which is another thing I thought that we researched. Are you a foodie? Do you like different, do you like eating out, like making food? I feel like that pop. Yes. What is
all
it?
Of it? I honestly don't have a ton of time for cooking. It's, it would take me to a slowdown lane, you know, which do I cook? I cook very rarely. My husband's an excellent cook. I like recipe. I like to I curate the idea.
Oh, wow. Yes.
He doesn't mind because he's been cooking for me for a long time.
Wait, you curate the food idea and then you hand it to him and then he creates the piece of art. Nice. Oh, that's amazing. The food. That's great.
And if I didn't, I feel like we'd have 5 to 10 staples. And every once in a while, I'm just
I can't do pasta again.
And a recipe. Okay, let's do that.
Are there any cities or you want to go to, or are there restaurants in New York? If you're thinking in that world, or is it more stuff at home you like to do? What is your in this food world?
No, I'm like a sucker for a repeat experience. That's great. So I do definitely repeat visit a lot of the same restaurants. I had great Thai food for lunch today. Random little place, but it was phenomenal. It's funny. We spent 10 days for our honeymoon in Italy, and I was so ready to get back to New York and have New York food. I was like, I cannot just eat the same. Like, I need something Asian, anything. Yes. Give me Vietnamese, Thai, Chinese, but no more pasta, red sauce, core kind of, you know, ingredients. Yeah. But our staples also, we order an Indian every week, Chinese and Italian, the great pizza. Those are probably family staples every 7 to 10 days that get on rotation.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I do try to get out to dinner a couple of times, but I should try more places. But it's good. You just want to go back and I get the same dish too.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Well, I love it. Thanks for sharing that. All right, Melissa, we have one last thing we get to do with you, which is your best bad acting. And now, since you said you were an actor for 2 years, this is good. So you've got a little talent here. You've got something. But the point with this is just to have fun. Okay. I know you're excited. I guess she's
already
excited.
Having fun.
Okay. So Corbin's gonna send a quote from a movie.
I don't know. I can only do good acting. I'm just
okay. Good. Do it. All right. Whenever you're ready.
But I have a prop, so you guys are the only ones that appreciate it.
Yeah. But
success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts.
Yeah. And then she took a swig. Oh my God.
Out of my champagne bottle that sits on my desk.
So great.
Oh, I like the prop. I like that. We might need to clip that out. That was amazing. Okay. And then Melissa, part of the fun is we maybe get to give you a redirect. So Corbin, do you have a redirect? Yeah, this is good. Melissa, you get to be in the hot seat.
I want to feel, I want to feel the same energy when you curate your dinners. Like when you're going to your husband, you're like, I really want X.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of just that nonsense. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. Yep. It is the courage to continue that counts.
Ooh. Yes.
Right. Okay. Now this is, I got a good one for you. Your client just booked a big job and you are excited. You're giving them this great news.
Okay. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that game.
Yeah. Yes. So, man. I like that was a little wave of energy. Yeah. That a little wave. Mm-hmm. That was
they great. Always have to build up, you know, yes. As soon as I'm done, I get louder and then I give them a chance to go up.
And peak. Oh my gosh. Well, Melissa, you've been lovely. Your energy is wonderful. Obviously we can tell you're doing a lot, which is great, you know, but you don't, at least right now, you don't wear it on you. And what I mean by that is just your energy is really giving and so appreciative of your time and answering the questions. And some of these, I can tell you've had to answer these before. And what I mean by that is like, these people are curious about these things because it's challenging for actors, and you were really lovely just in tenderly giving us, you know, giving us your experience, really. No, but it's really appreciated.
Yeah.
My pleasure. Cause it is freaking hard. And, you know, I think there's a lot out there that is, I guess, the pro, cause when I was acting, like we barely had the internet. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, yes. It was the late '90s. But you know, I think I just like came to New York after beepers transitioned to the, you know, phones that were barely phones because you had to like, push them. Anywho, it was hard, and there were not a lot of tools. I thought I had really discovered like dinosaurs when they came out with the envelopes that had like a clear plastic.
The clear plastic. Yes, I remember those. I remember those. Moments,
that would have been to be discovered fast and stop banging my head against the wall. It's hard. And you guys, I have all the respect for actors. It does take a special, committed artist to walk the path.
Yeah.
And you got to love the process.
You do. You got to love the process. And so... And we're trying to help people out and show the community the positiveness and the people out here that are connectors like yourself, you know, and the people that are kind of, you know, really that are doing it and doing it for the right reasons. So awesome. Melissa, this was wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate you taking the time. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Of course. All right. Bye, Melissa. Nice meeting you. Thank you for listening to the
Moon and Fox Life Podcast.